ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय
One of Srila Prabhupada's favorite chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prayers of Queen Kunti. Yay! And it's toward the end of her prayers, so it's a nice finale to her wonderful prayers to her wonderful Lord Krishna. Good. They put the wrong verse on the board. That little kirtan was just a delay tactic. So Krishna's arrangement. Okay. Tvayi menanya vishaya. Matir madhu pate sakrit. Ratim udvahatad adha Gange vaugham udhanvati Paime nanya vishaya Matir madhupate sakrit Ratim udvahatad adha Gange vaugham udhanvati
Vaime nanya vishaya
Ganga, the Ganges, Light. Ogham. Flows. Udhanvati.
Down to the sea.
Translation, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Forty-two follows 41. This message of 42 is a continuation of the message of 41. So I'm going to read 41, then 42 in the purport. 41, translation. O Lord of the universe, O soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. And then this one. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Purport. Two paragraphs. Very powerful. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of finer elements like affection for someone else. That's what it doesn't mean. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feeling of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed. Only for the service of the Lord, in place of the desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc., consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. Paragraph. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord. For it is declared in all the scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord and friendship. The fighting was there. The friendship was there. Arjuna was there. And Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion. And that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. It's an interesting phrase, not in the program of the Lord. He's got his program. The Krishna show. When the program is changed into the service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure, unalloyed devotional service. Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. final paragraph. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service. This is very subtle, so you have to tune in to the Krishna channel, the Krishna program. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here, the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family relation. The tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relation of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. Relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing. This is a nice example. But seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. Seems too simple. It's very simple. But we're complicated. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. Prabhupada said it. Difficult for the crooked. Well, the principle is simple. The application of the principle is where we run into some difficulty. So we'll speak about Kunti, and then we'll speak about ourselves, and we'll go back and speak about Kunti again. Kunti's speaking about pure, unalloyed devotional service. In fact, in the verse, Tai me ananya vishaya. Ananya is undivided, like ananya bhakti. But this is ananya vishaya. And what does vishaya mean? Sense gratification. Vishaya vinivartante niraharashadehi nam. Vishaya means sense gratification. Tai me ananya vishaya. Let the senses of Krishna be our unalloyed object of contemplation. Matir, contemplating with the mind. Madhupate, the Lord of Madhu. Asakrit, continuously. So ananya bhakti, undividedly be thinking of these senses are meant for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna. Sounds familiar, right? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. Bhaktir Uchate. This is Narada Muni's definition of bhakti. The senses serving the master of the senses. Rishikena, Rishikesha. Rishikena of the senses. Rishikesha, the master of the senses. It's really simple. The problem is we're crooked. We have some other idea. We have some idea that I call it the two-pocket program. So much for Krishna, so much for me. So much for Krishna, so much for me. Me, me, Krishna, Krishna. A little lecture on the me side. And bhakti is only one pocket. Everything's for Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, hey. Rama, Raghu, Rama, Raghu, Rama, Raghu, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. Right, Paul? One pocket. Then there's the two-pocket program. And Kunti is asking Krishna to help her come to the one-pocket program. This Twayi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit ratim. It's a comparison. Let my attraction unto you be like the inexorable flow of the Ganges downstream into the sea. When does the Ganges start and when does the Ganges stop? It doesn't start and it doesn't stop. It just keeps flowing and flowing. Let my attraction be sakrit. Asakrit. Without interruption. Uninterrupted devotion. Unmixed and uninterrupted devotion. Exclusively unto you. That's pure devotional service. Now, gee, that's Queen Kunti saying that. And who are we in comparison to Queen Kunti? We're nobody. She's way up there. She's Arjuna's mother. And Arjuna is Krishna's dearmost friend. And she has pure love for Krishna. When she sees Krishna, she says in the beginning of the prayers what she sees. You're super soul. You are that Lord of the heart. And you're manifest here before me. She has that. It's not something she read in a book somewhere. She memorized a sloka. She has that realization. And it bewilders her when Krishna comes and touches her feet and bows down to offer respect to his aunt, because Kunti and Vasudev are brother and sister, and Vasudev is his father, and Kunti is his father's sister, his aunt, Aunt Kunti. And he comes to offer her respect. And that bewilders her mind, because you're super soul, what are you doing? Touching my feet. So she's up there, and she is saying, because I've heard devotees speak like this, oh, Kunti's got this problem, what about me? What's the hope for me? Because she's saying that she has this mix. Now, is question, is answer. He raises the question and he answers it. Is affection, he says it twice actually, is affection for family members and relatives and all of that, is there no place for that in unalloyed devotion to Krishna? The answer is yes. The finer sentiments have their place. And it's, you know, it says it's stronger. You can't be without it. So don't try to be without it. Oh, I'm callous to my family members. That's not Krishna consciousness. What's Krishna consciousness? Where, like the discussion this morning, where the devotee, first we'll start with the soul is seen as the sitting place within the heart, not only within the heart of the body, but within the heart of the soul, which was in the heart of the body. Super soul is there. I'll do that one again. The soul is animating the body, and it's said to be 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, which, by the way, is smaller than an atom because it's inside an atom. So the soul is inside this body, animating the body. super soul is inside the heart of the soul. So one devotee, Prabhupada's disciple, asked Prabhupada once, Prabhupada, could you explain? It says in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, that the size of the supersoul is thumb size, like 6 inches. And if the supersoul is thumb size, 6 inches, and it's in the heart of the individual soul, there's 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. How does that work, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said it back. Then what is the problem? The soul is 1/10,000th, since the supersoul is inside his heart. So Sachi Sutta was his name. He thought, maybe Prabhupada didn't understand my question. So toward the end of whatever that time spent together was, he asked the question again. He got the same answer. And the answer is from the purport that we read this morning. Andantarastam paramanuchayantarastam. Which is, he's within everything. Andantarastam paramanuchayantarastam. He's within everything. He's simultaneously bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest, which sounds like double talk. You're either big or you're small. How can you be simultaneously big and small? Bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest, or the other kind of Upanishadic double talk. He's inside everything and outside of everything. He's near and he's very far away as well. What's going on? It's this or that. That's because we're trying to use our binary processor, the mind, by the way, is a binary processor. Something about computer science, figuring out binary processors. It's just matching what the mind does, imitating what the mind does. So it's a one or a zero. How can it be a one and a zero? It can go back and forth between a one and a zero. But it can't be simultaneously one and a zero. It's one or the other. But Krishna is not bound by those rules. Krishna is simultaneously both. He's within everything and he's outside of everything. He's bigger than the biggest and he's smaller than the smallest. From him, in one expansion feature, Mahavishnu, unlimited universes are coming. And that same Mahavishnu expands as Garbhadakshay Vishnu within each universe and as Paramatma, Shiradakshay Vishnu within every atom of the universe. Andantarastam Paramatma. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This is the, as Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, behold my mystic opulence, Yogam Aishvaryam. Or, behold my inconceivable potencies, achintya shakti. That's how Krishna does it. He doesn't even have to do anything. That's how he does it. He just expands his potencies. And to expand his potencies, he doesn't have to do anything. Like, you know, to lift Govardhan Hill. Looks like he's lifting Govardhan Hill. But actually, he doesn't have to lift Govardhan Hill. It's his potencies. He just holds his hand up in the air, and Govardhan Hill is held up. He didn't even have to hold his hand up. It just his potencies, and Govardhan's up. Govardhan's down. It's his potencies that do everything. The trigger, the... What's the word? Triggers. That which sets the whole thing in motion is Krishna's Ichha Shakti, his desire. He desires, and his potencies are off taking care of his desires. Haribol, we've got some service. There goes Govardhan Hill. You want to set it down? There goes Govardhan Hill. Set it down. What's next? The potencies, the internal potencies of Krishna are forever serving him. He doesn't have to do anything. So he is thus the supreme enjoyer, enjoying his potencies. And that's Krishna's lila. And So the place where we are, Maya's kingdom, that's also specifically described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as one of Krishna's leelas. It's not his internal potency leelas, but it's one of his leelas. And he does it, take note, the Bhagavatam describes, in reciprocation, out of love for the rebellious living entities. The rebellious living entities are thinking themselves disconnected from him, and as a result, they're unhappy. And Krishna knows that they're unhappy because he's within their heart. He knows they're unhappy. And he wants them to become again happy, so he makes creations so that they can rectify that unhappiness. And the whole show is to help them overcome that unhappiness. And here we are, in the material world, being given an opportunity to overcome that unhappiness. And that unhappiness overcoming process is the process of devotional service that starts with the association of devotees, those specifically, those who are carrying bhakti within their heart. And Krishna makes some arrangement for some bhakti person to bump into us, intersect our lives, and spill a little bhakti on us. Whoa. We may or not like it. We may or like it or not like it. You got all this bhakti all over me. Hey, it feels good. A little more, please. And that's the way of increasing devotional service. The mercy of a devotee. So the topic that I chose to speak on for this evening was that the basis for any relationship, or to speak of a loving relationship, the basis for a relationship is a relationship with Krishna. Say it the other way. Without a relationship with Krishna, there's no relationship. So this morning was, without respect, there's no relationship, and I'm bumping it up. Without a relationship with Krishna, what do you have? You have Maya. And here's a little, real simple definition. The difference between material and spiritual. You ready? Really simple. Material, seeing things separate from Krishna. Spiritual, seeing things in relation to Krishna. Real simple definition. Actually, everything has a relationship with Krishna. So if I see something doesn't have a relationship with Krishna, that's Maya. Real simple. That's material consciousness. The scriptural, besides Prabhupada, gave it like that. Here's the scriptural evidence. It's one of the four essential verses of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Confirmed. What Vishnu says to Lord Brahma is, if you see something that has intrinsic value, the word in Sanskrit is artha, value, separate from me, know that to be my illusory potency. Seeing something to have value or, you know, substance, sat, real, separate from Krishna, know that to be my illusory energy. That's the kingdom that we're in. The kingdom of Maya, where it's the program of forgetting Krishna. And then there's the Krishna program, as being said here about Kunti. She wants the Krishna program. Everything in relation to Krishna. So there's two, from the previous verse, there's two. Pandavas and the Vrishnis. And Prabhupada explains in the previous purport. For a woman, there are two families. The family in which she was born, so her father and mother's family, and her own family, her own husband and children. And that's, so Kunti is, here she is in Hastinapur, and the scene is Krishna is about to leave. And she's thinking, if Krishna leaves, I and my sons, the Pandavas, will be very unhappy without Krishna. But where Krishna is going is where the Vrishnis are, my father's family, and all of those relatives, and they'll be very happy. So they're happy and we're unhappy, or we're happy and they're unhappy. And why is that? It's due to the identification with the body. So family relations that are based upon the body and not the soul, she's asking Krishna, please cut that material portion of the affinity for the Pandavas and Vrishnis. Not the finer sentiments of affection for my relatives, that doesn't go. That stays. But from soul to soul, is there such a thing as a soul to soul relationship? It's not the, you know, what do they call it? Soul mates, not that kind of thing. Not that kind of thing. That's something else. That's, you know, you scratch my back and I scratch your back. You're a good back scratcher and I'm good at it too. So we're soulmates. I knew before we even met that you're a good back scratcher. You know, right where to, you know. Not that. Soul to soul. And how is that possible? Formula is presented. Where the connection is soul to the Supreme Soul. The relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the Super Soul. And the very next sentence is this one. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing. So, that's easy to understand. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing. You turn on the light, the sun comes and you can see not only the sun, but you can see all the things that you couldn't see when there was darkness. So what happens when you have a soul to super soul relationship? Or soul to God relationship? All those things that you couldn't see before, you can now see. Like the other soul. And the soul-to-soul relationship that you couldn't see. Although there was, previously there was this affinity or affection or attachment or give it some nice name and perfume and a nice bow and ribbon, give it a nice, you know, nice marketing look to it. But it's sense gratification. It's illusion. Now go back. That's Queen Kunti saying this. What's us? What's up? What are we supposed to do? Because we're way down here and she's way up there and she's praying for this. We should know what the goal is. And not in some artificial way or imitation way, but in a inspired way, understand that's the potency of what devotional service can bring to us. And if we want loving relationships, that's the price. So we cultivate our loving relationship with Krishna, the soul to the Supreme Soul, so that we can actually experience loving relationships soul to soul. That's nice sounding. How do you do that? Or you could say, if step back a bit and say, if that little statement was taken out of context and presented to someone else from wherever they're coming from, because I've tried this, would you say, you know, speaking to people from other religions, would you say that the goal of your religion is to develop love of God? And if you ask them what's the goal of your religion, you might get a different, so many different answers. But if you ask, you know, a direct question, would you say that's the goal of your religion? The answer is yes. So then, ask the next question. In order to love someone, is it important that you know anything about that someone? Or you just don't know anything about this someone and love them. Well, that's easy to answer. You need to know something about the someone. Okay. So the goal of religion is love God, and you need to know something about a person in order to love that person. And the more you know about the person, the more the capacity is to love that person. So can you describe what God does in the spiritual world? What he looks like, what his form is, and how he exchanges with... What's it like? Well, we're very fortunate in that the Srimad Bhagavatam supplies that amply, and even before the spiritual world, the unalloyed love of someone as exalted as Kunti, she's praying for unalloyed love. So that tells us something about what we should be doing. And because of that aspiration in her heart, she certainly knows Krishna. She knows him as Super Soul, moving around. Like there's this very beautiful verse, I'm sure some of you are aware. When Krishna enters the wrestling arena in Mathura, and he's over his shoulder, he's got these elephant tusks of Kuvalyapida, bloody on one end, because he just smashed Kuvalyapida and knocked him out. And Balaram's got the other one, his two tusks. And they're striding into the wrestling arena. 12-year-old boys carrying these giant tusks. And the different persons that see him in different ways. And the yogis see him, there goes Super Soul moving across the wrestling mat. The impersonalists see, there goes the Brahmajyoti moving across the wrestling mat. And Kamsa sees, there is death personified moving across the wrestling mat. And there's 12 different persons that see Krishna in different ways according to Yayatam Mam Prapadyante, Tangsta Taiva Bhajamyaham. As their heart is oriented towards him, that's how they see him. So pure devotional service is to change of heart. What is being said here in this verse is said again and again and again in the Canto 2, Chapter 3, pure devotional service, change of heart. What's needed is a change of heart, where we, instead of having affinity for matter, we have affinity for Krishna. And to have affinity for Krishna, Kapila Dev in the third canto of Bhagavatam teaches, we need affinity for the sadhus, the pure devotees of Krishna. Just to transfer the material attachment to spiritual attachment is through attachment to the sadhu. And if we don't have vast understanding of Krishna, and through the sadhu we'll come to understand through the love that the sadhu has for Krishna, not just book information, but loving quality of the nature of Krishna's interactions with his loving devotees. And the Kamsas and the non-devotees and everybody else, all living entities. The loving quality of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, the smile of Krishna, the gait, the walking like a maddened elephant, he's walking across the wrestling arena. To experience loving, so this is the message, that to experience loving relationships with one another, there's a price. And that's establishing a loving relationship with Krishna. And the beautiful thing is that Krishna helps us develop our loving relationship with him through the loving relationships with his loving devotees. That's what Krishna consciousness is. It's the opportunity provided through the association of devotees to develop our love for Krishna by developing loving relationships or serving the devotees of Krishna. And it requires not business as usual. It requires a change of heart. If we don't want a change of heart, we just want a nice social experience, that's what we'll get. That Krishna can give you that. No problem. But if you want loving relationships, then it has to be a change of heart. And that means seeing things differently. Seeing Krishna at the center and becoming attached to Krishna. Attached. I don't know if some of you have had this experience of, especially those that have come a number of times to Gita Nagari and just seeing Radha Damodar, and their very, very merciful form. Start to get attached to Radha Damodar. Or in your place of your temple where you worship, and go regularly to worship the deity in the temple and develop some attachment for that deity and the devotees in that temple and so forth. So that's wholesome. That's wanted. But it's also a good idea, like Queen Kunti, to have those relationships not deteriorate to finding where there's some shortcoming in this person and that person and the other person. I'll just share this with you. Before you came, some of the devotees that are doing the service for Prabhupada and Hare Krishna movement of giving spiritual care or devotee care to others. We had some gathering, just some sangha. And one of the things that came out several times is one of the services that we have to do, a theme of it is somebody who has an issue with somebody. You know, interpersonal stuff. Well, here's the solution, or I should say, yeah, solution, and here's the alternative. See the soul. See Krishna within the heart of that soul. That's too challenging. I can see the faults. That's easy. Something that I learned as a teenager, wisdom of a teenager, was any 2-bit teenager can find where the faults are. Just ask any teenager, what's wrong? They'll tell you all kinds of stuff that's wrong. But where's that unique teenager amongst all of them that has a solution to the problems? So, how to get from the problematic to the transcending the problem, and the problems fade into oblivion. They become cleansed and washed away. What's that product in the marketplace? It's devotional service. And not just devotional service, but the kind of devotional service that the Bhagavatam is teaching, paradharma, pure devotional service, inspired by such great personalities as Queen Kunti. She has loving relationships. My goodness, the Pandavas are her sons. And the whole Yadu dynasty that's on her, the other family side. How exalted, how fortunate. And she's praying for unalloyed devotion unto Krishna alone. That doesn't exclude those personalities. It just elevates or takes away the material portion of whatever that affinity is for those individuals. So let the same become our aspiration. Following little ducklings, following the mother duck. There is Queen Kunti saying, quack, quack. Me going, quack, quack. Quack, quack. Krishna, take from my heart the material portion of my affinity for the devotees and leave simply through the medium of love for you the soul-to-soul component, the real essence of loving relationship. That's the message for this evening. Hare Krishna. So any comments or questions, I'll call on Atmani Vedana since I cut him off this morning and didn't give him a chance. So there's another microphone? Those in charge of the microphone system? Shishiradha Damodar Ki Jai. You don't need a microphone, right? You ever been called a loudmouth before?
In other words.
That was supposed to be a joke, so we're just stalling for time. Okay. There we go.
So you ended, it seemed, Sri Rupa Swami, you ended this class on a similar note to which you ended the first class, related that the soul should, in not seeing the fault of others, one should continue to respect them, even if they're doing something which has some fault. And anyway, I was gathering that from what you said, and I had a question about that. As far as how it seems that one should, for one's self-purification, it would seem that one should always be offering respect and serving others, regardless of how they reciprocate.
Yes.
But.
I was waiting.
I was thinking of two reasons that one might find exception to that general principle, which is for the sake of instructing others who are not reciprocating properly, and you're trying to serve them, and the other is in order to have a more productive teamwork in the future. Sometimes it seems
sure. My response to that is sure, but that should be done from the position of being the servant of those who you're extending care to and those who you're serving, the mission that you're serving, so you can be more productive in the mission, in the mood of service, not in the mood of something else. And there's lots of something else's. But it's so in the mood of service. Okay? Sure. It doesn't mean to say, to offer respect to others, in, amanina, manadena, doesn't mean you take your intelligence and turn it in the off position. And you can't discern anything from anything. You get an unofficial lobotomy and you just, you don't know what's going on, you just smile. Discrimination should be active. But that discriminating capacity or faculty be in the mood of service. Seeing as Krishna sees, there's various displays of the modes of nature, and karma, and vikarma, and so much. You see in a detached way as Krishna sees. And then as the servant of Krishna, what is appropriate? What might be appropriate for you to serve Krishna from that, with that assistance of proper vision? Samadarshana. Anyone else? Comment or question?
We're talking about the relationships of the family relationships. So
he talks with his hands. I like it.
I'm trying to practice that. Trying to practice cultivating the relationship with Krishna and devotees. but my family members might not see that in the same way, and they expect the relationship in a different platform.
Welcome to life. I experience it too. I have family members, not children, but I have, you know, brothers and sisters, and they've got their expectations.
Sometimes the pressure is there is a pressure on that to act in that relationship with them. So, how to continue practicing?
You can do that even in service to Krishna, because that may be needed, given an intimate situation of family, etc., where they have some expectation. And if you just, you know, chalo. It's not going to be a copacetic family relationship. So you may do some of those things consciously, purposefully, to help, you know, gradually come to some other stage. It's service unto Krishna to preserve the family, so that we as a family can grow together in Krishna consciousness, and just in the mood of service. In the mood of service.
At the same time, how to protect myself not to get...
Do it in the mood of service, then protection. Devotional service ki jai. Okay. Wait back there. Oh, you have... You're an ecstatic devotee. Just hand me the microphone and it jumps.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You should see him during kirtan. Go ahead.
In which to the God is very embarrassing.
God is doing what?
Reality of the living entities, enviousness to the God and among the living entities. That situation is very embarrassing.
Situation is?
Very embarrassing.
Embarrassing?
In the morning class, you mentioned that.
Okay.
About having
a body. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, got it.
So, I was thinking really that when I think that it is very hard to instruct the children, because if I am not doing something, and in that situation I am also feeling the same way, how I should instruct them negatively.
And they know it too. Here's what some kids say to their parents, you know, a little flippantly, but they say, "You're expecting me to be Prahlad Maharaj and you're Hiranyakashipu." Why don't you set a good example? Because they've read the books and they're trained up, you know. So they got this, you know, teenage, you know, I know where the faults are, just ask me. Your kids aren't teenagers yet. Wait a while. Yeah, so you need to deliver what you want. You set the example of what you want. But that's not a guarantee that the children will imbibe what you want them to receive. But it's what the duty of the parent is. You provide the example and create the atmosphere for the garden to grow. And that's your duty. That's fulfillment of your duty. And then they're making some choices along the way. But the strength of their taking the right choice is through the strength of love. Not force, but love. That's the challenge of parenting. you have something, then you can give that something. Is that right? Okay. I see your hand. You're not as ecstatic as he is. Thank you, Maharaj.
About the devotional service, I have gratitude for Srila Prabhupada, you and my mentors, and I want to take up your instructions to desire for pure devotional service. And,
but
what else? It's an and. What
and,
else?
Okay, and.
And what more motivation can I have for desiring pure devotional service?
Well, hang out with those that have an aspiration for pure devotional service. Sadhu Sangha. And do bhajan, bhajana kriya with those sadhus. Like what we're doing right now. You know, keep coming to all the retreats and, you know, apply, take close association here very carefully, in your home regularly, you know, take the message and pour it into your heart. Shrivanti gayanti grananti sadhavaha. And just keep cultivating that. Yeah.
So, as we're...
His questions are always good. Good question.
If we're aspiring to kind of develop this equal vision,
okay,
of living entities, people mostly.
Okay.
Nonetheless, though, as we aspire for that, still I feel we have certain tendencies towards certain people and preferences.
Sure.
So are those material?
Yep.
So should we pause when we see ourselves throwing some people in?
Yeah. It doesn't mean, oh, now I have to become cold towards somebody I feel some affinity for. And now I have to go and embrace someone that, you know, is yuck. But, you know, recognize that it's material. And try to see beyond the material to the soul within. What the verse this morning said was, Vrishabhdev is saying, know that I am in their heart. And offer respect to the soul, because that's the seating place of me. And indirectly you're respecting me. So go to the soul platform. And then, you know, it diminishes the material. Just like this example, so simple example. Seeing in darkness is not seeing. The affinity that I feel and the repulsion that I feel, it's in darkness. When the light comes, then you can see the light, you can see God, and you can see all kinds of things you couldn't see before, like the soul. And the connection of the soul to the spirit. So, you know, just change the channel a bit. And how do you change the channel a bit? So this change of heart. Because it's the very exact language that's used here. It's association with those that have that capacity. In Kunti's case, it's Krishna directly. So we don't have Krishna directly. We have those that are representing Krishna. And, you know, prayers to the deity, and the message of the Bhagavatam is Krishna directly, and so forth. Those are in the holy name. That's the Krishna channel for us. Tune into the Krishna channel. What's the Krishna program? Using the language here. And if it's not the Krishna program, then it's, as you said, it's material. It's Maya. It's an illusory appearance of Yes, I'm feeling. It's a conditioned feeling. Attraction, repulsion. That's my psychophysical nature. But that's not who I am. There's a very nice verse. I was thinking of the verse while I was speaking. Matir na krishne paratak svatova matova padyeta grahak pratanam adanta govir vishatam tamishram puna punash charvata charvananam. Even sounds nice, doesn't it? Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his beloved father, the best of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, about the inability of one to become attracted to Vishnu, because he's asking, you know, where are you getting this? Knowledge. Where are you getting this? And his answer is, Dad, you're never going to understand it, don't worry. Those who are too much attached to the bodily conception will never understand this by their own effort, the help of others in combination. So the limitation for us is the attachment to the conception of the body and the pushes and pulls connected with that, the attractions and repulsions, the preferences and, you know, the likes and the dislikes. Sankalpa vikalpa. It's the mind. Attraction, accepting, rejecting. Like, and you know, some time passes and then it's something else. And some time passes and it's something else and it's something else. There's nothing steady, nothing stable. There's no foundation to it. It's all material. Now you see it, now you don't. It was sunny and then it was a big storm and then it was sunny. And the storm passed. But there's supposed to be another one coming tomorrow. But rather than identifying with the sun or the storm, what's permanent here? What's the basis of all of this? So that a thoughtful person can go there and experience it in the process of hearing and in association with others, hearing and chanting, we can go there. And live there and experience from that perspective. It's a whole other paradigm. It's nice. You know, the waves of the material energy don't stop, but you just see them differently. You experience them differently. When there's shelter, Krishna's shelter. So there's someone way back there. Will you raise your hand?
You were saying that we keep two pockets, one is for Krishna and one is for me. So most of the time I feel that I don't even have a very clear discrimination that this is for, like, you know, I'm keeping this for me and this is for Krishna. And also at many times it's under illusion in the name of keeping something for Krishna. Underlying it's something for me, or on the other hand, if there is something important for me that I reject, and it something that could be used in service of Krishna, but I see that it's for me and I reject it. So I want to understand how to, is there a very clear discrimination needed, that awareness that's needed, that's, you know, at deeper levels, that this is really for Krishna and this is really for me, and how to get that discrimination.
Okay, I'll give a simple answer. Please excuse me ahead of time. It's progressive, or discrimination becomes refined more and more and more as you progress. Go back in time before you started practicing devotional service. What discrimination, like what you just described, was there? Zippo. Nada. Wasn't there at all. And then there was something, and now there's something. So as you continue vidyavadho jivanam, the knowledge, the capacity to discriminate these things continues to grow and grow and grow as you go along. For now, you're as you expressed, the discrimination isn't so strong. You have some sense, but it's blur. Keep going. And to keep going, especially the quality of your chanting Krishna's holy name. Too simple, right? That's the yoga dharma. That's our medicine. Continue to take it. Chant very attentively. To do that takes a lot of concentration, strength, intent. Purification will come, and with that, what you're looking for. The ability to, as you're going along, you'll be able to then detect. And you'll also have the strength to, by Krishna's mercy, you're praying to Krishna for the strength, to let go of something that's on the selfish side and embrace something that's on the Krishna side. And side by side, this, as I said yesterday, the two tracks of the train example. That which gives direction to our activities of life comes from Scripture. So this is going to purify my heart, chanting, and that's going to, the Scripture is going to guide my activity, so I know what's what. I can see from the example of Kunti, even I have affection for such exalted devotees as the Pandavas, my sons. There's some skin disease here. So Krishna, please remove that portion of that affinity, that affection for them. And then it's soul to soul, so like that. It gives us the intelligence, the how to guide our lives as we move along the path of life. Purity and guidance, intelligence. And some prasadam too is good. Radha Damodara Mahaprasada. Okay? Whoa. You have wings?
Maharaj, you were speaking about simplicity in the beginning of your discussion.
Okay.
So, Prabhupada oftentimes defines simplicity as freedom from duplicity.
Yes.
Showing one thing with something else that's going on.
Yes.
And oftentimes I have experienced that we feel a little bit discouraged or lack of courage in being straightforward or forthcoming or revealing because we feel that it may damage the relationship. All the while, the relationship is being damaged because of lack of such simplicity at the same time. So I was wondering what does it mean to be simple? How does one become more simple? You know, where do we get the spiritual courage and strength to be simple?
Well, let me complicate the answer by saying from Scripture, there are two examples that come to mind immediately where a very great, highly qualified, very simple and straightforward soul like Vidura didn't when Yudhisthira asked about the welfare of everybody in Dwarka, he didn't say, He wasn't straightforward. Because he didn't want to be the deliverer of bad news. He didn't want to bring pain to them. So no, everything's fine, our goal. He just didn't answer the question. And then later in the third canto, when he sees Uddhava, he asks all about persons who he knows have already departed the world. How's this one? How's that one? Although he knew that they departed. So there are circumstances. Here's another one. When Shamakrishi found out that his son Sringi had cursed Maharaj Parikshit, he didn't want to. He felt terrible, but he didn't go and save him because it would have been too much for Maharaj Parikshit to bear. But he wanted him to know that you're going to die in 7 days, so he sent a messenger. And Maharaj Parikshit didn't go, and you know, because it would have broken the heart of the Brahmin if he went to say something like, please accept my apologies or something, because you know my son just cursed you to die. So there was respect, but the respect was not in the form of explicit communication to one another, out of respect for the other person. Being very cultured persons, they knew how to do that, or when to do what. We're not so cultured, so we don't know when to do what. But there are circumstances where a simple-hearted person may not disclose everything. There are examples. So where does that discrimination come from? A little bit like the question that I told you about. Where do I get this intelligence from? You get it from Krishna. If you don't get it from Krishna, you're not going to get it. But it requires purification. It requires being close to Krishna. To be simple, your question was how to cultivate that simplicity. Where does it come from? It comes from chanting. It comes from chanting with the desire to chant without offense. That's my answer. If we don't have a desire to chant, to come to the stage of love for Krishna, you're not going to get that kind of simplicity. You're not going to get that. Because that simplicity is, Krishna, you're my only shelter. And if I'm sheltered by you, nothing can harm me. But if I'm not thinking, Krishna, you're my only shelter, I've got to, you know, protect myself. I'm just defending, you know, I'm hiding stuff because it's part of my defense system. So it starts from chanting. That's our method. Chanting without offense. Taking full shelter of Krishna. Namashraya. Taking full shelter of Krishna. I don't know if it happened with the answer, but that's my answer. Why don't you write behind me?
Maharaj, I was thinking about how Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are a lot of examples of change of heart.
Yes.
Some of them very profound and beautiful.
Yes.
So then when we read these pastimes, our consciousness may not be so elevated. There's no question, but it isn't so elevated. So my question is, can these pastimes, especially on thinking specifically of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, can we feel inspired by these pastimes and use them as part of our purification?
Yes. Or yes. Yes. Meditate upon, speak about, pray to, hear and chant and remember, and that will become your experience. Although it says, you know, it will happen. Role models that are great personalities by that method. It's taught by Ramanujacharya. It's how character development or transformation, bringing spiritual character into one's life, can take place. So definitely. And then from that will come, Krishna will inspire other things that resonate, and other things that resonate. It'll just the spiritual world starts to unfold when you pursue the spiritual world. Like the Christian saying, seek and ye shall find. The opportunities that you didn't even think of and imagine start to open when you very sincerely pursue, like what you just described. I want this change of heart, and it's not happening. I'm not qualified. Here's someone that then you meditate upon, speak about, remember, read, etc., pray to. That's Vaishnava. It's very, very clearly our Gaudiya Vaishnava principle. It's transforming. Okay. We're at 8 o'clock and it's time to end. I'm going to end. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.